Oh, yeah. All the family watching on live stream, we welcome you this morning and everybody here this morning. I actually made an effort, or I made it a point to spend time with my children when they're on holidays, because they're growing too fast. My son got up in the morning and I saw him walk out, and I thought, I'm looking up. I'm thinking, when did this guy grow? Really quick. So I've just made this point that I should take some time off and spend some time with them, because by the time they get out, that's it. You don't get hugs and all these things anymore. And I encourage you fathers to do the same. Parents, to take your children out, spend some time with them. Amen? Because church and God is all about family. God's heart is more family than church, because the family makes up the church. So family is important to God, and we have to understand that. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you because you are the Spirit of grace. You are the great counselor. You are the one that teaches, and you are the one that leads and guides us, because you live inside of us. And Father, I pray and I thank you that you are activating your word, watching over it to fulfill it in the lives of our people this morning. I pray, as I've always prayed, that you hide me, Lord, from men, hide me from people so that they hear your voice and your word. Nothing else, nothing more. And I pray, Father, that you will watch over your word as you've said to fulfill it. Because your word is everlasting to everlasting. Your word is life. Your word is power. Your word is a lamp unto our feet that guides us. Lord, especially in this very moment and time and season that we live in right now, that we truly, truly need to abide in your word and to hear your voice, as Pastor Jan prayed, to listen to that still, small, quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that you still speak through us. Lord, and we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, my topic is still the same. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What part is that now? Part 11. I'm looking at part 9. There's so many parts. I've been just inspired to share this word this morning, because I think it's very important for us as a church and as a family, because we are living in a time now where whatever decisions that we make has to be based on God's word. It's crucial. The Bible is our guide to making decisions, and when we make decisions, we must always make it based on God's word. Amen? And then on top of that, we have the Holy Spirit that will always guide us. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will always guide you. And I pray that you listen to that voice. You hear that voice more and more. And it comes from your time of prayer with the Lord and the time you spend in the word. Amen? Fellowshipping together with one another. Those are the kind of things that you sharpen up your spirit by. Starting to hear God's voice more. I'm bringing this message this morning inspired by a dream I had. And with my 2 weeks away with the family, God was showing me something. I was quite not bothered by it, but I was just thinking about it. It was at the back of my mind. But many people are on the crossroads of making crucial decisions. And many families, friends, even neighbors are being divided. Amen? There's things happening in the world now that are dividing neighbors, dividing family. People are suspicious of each other. Those are realities that we need to face and we need to speak about. And we need to address the church so that you are prepared, not because it's a good idea, but it's because what God wants us to be, what? Watchmen. We have to watch and pray. Watch what's happening around the world and pray. Hallelujah. You know, I forgot all about this dream until I came to prayer meeting on Saturday. And God spoke to me, again, by the Spirit of God, that still quiet voice of the Holy Spirit. And it reminded me of that dream. And I thought, I couldn't get away from that. And I had to actually address it by the Word of God. And addressing decisions for people, making sure that they make decisions based on His Word. Amen. everyone is being mentally tormented by this fear. Fear of what? Fear of dying. Everybody is fearful of dying. But you and I, we are from another kingdom. We are from another world, hallelujah. We are a peculiar people. We don't belong to this world. We don't think like this world. We don't do things like this world. Everything we do is based on what God has given us, which is this constitution we call the Bible. And everyone is, there's a fear of death going on all around the world today. Well, let me just bring things into perspective for you this morning. In 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Hallelujah. Let me just read that again. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." Let's all read that together. Let's all say that aloud together. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Hallelujah. God never gave us fear. He gave us a spirit of love and of a sound mind. Simply means to stay with good mental health. It is crucial for us to protect our minds. That's why the Bible says, be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because when you have a renewed mind with the Word of God, you will never have stress. You will never worry. You will never have fear. Because your mind's been renewed to think like the kingdom person. You think like Christ. You have a mind of Christ. Amen? It simply means to stay good and healthy, mental health and sound thinking. No stress, no pressure. We need love because sound mind is a byproduct of love, as it clearly states in this passage. When God said to man to have dominion over the earth, I'm opening this message this morning by talking about you and I. When God said to man to have dominion over the earth, he wired man to be a superior being to fulfill his task. You got to understand that. You are a superior being to fulfill God's mandate on this earth. Not a computer, not a robot, not some machine. You are the superior being. Not Batman or Superman, or Spider-Man, or all this stuff that Hollywood's been teaching you. You kids, are you listening to me this morning? You are the one that's a superior being. Amen? It means man's biology is best. Hello, somebody. Your biology is created by God. It's the best ever. Listen to this. Even in the worst of his floggings, Jesus couldn't die. Wow, you think about this. Even in the worst of his floggings, Jesus couldn't die. He, what? Willingly gave his spirit to the Father. He did it in order for his body to die. He could have lived through that, but he gave his spirit. The Bible says he gave up the ghost so that his body could die, so that the blood could be shed for you and I, so that we can be cleansed and restored by the power of that blood and the work and the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus said to Pilate. He says, "You have no authority over me unless it has been given to you from the above." God is even in control of Pilate. God is in control of government. God is in control of every authority on this earth. God is still in control of that. So don't you fear no man. Hallelujah. In John chapter 10 verse 18 it says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay down of myself." Oh, hallelujah. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. Hallelujah. This command, listen to this. This command I have received from my Father. Not from the government. Not from anybody except from my Father. Hallelujah. Your physical body was engineered by God to house His Holy Spirit. You got to remember that. No, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. Janet, this physical body, I'm talking to Janet because you didn't hear me. You heard me? Your physical body was engineered by God to house His Spirit. Your physical body was engineered by God to house His Spirit. This itself means that your physical bodies are superior to any viruses on this earth. No coronavirus, nothing can touch you. Why? Because you are engineered to carry His Spirit. And you have a mandate to fulfill. That's why you're sitting here this morning, breathing healthy, strong, because God has a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. You are a superior being. Hallelujah. This it means by his physical body is the superior to viruses. You have already have a powerful immune system that God has created in your body. And this is not just spiritual truth. This is scientific facts. Doctors will tell you your immune system is strong. It's powerful. You don't need nothing else to go with that to make it strong. You are already strong. Hallelujah. And you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. And if you're a kingdom person giving your heart to Christ, living by his standards and his principles, your blood of Jesus protects you and covers you. And we have to believe that. We have to stand on that. Hallelujah. God never created a test prototype body. You are not a test. You're not sitting here and God's going to create you another body. That's it. You got only one. There's no prototype. That's you. Hallelujah. He didn't test you. He gave you the body. It's the same body that you're going to have. There is no test prototype body anymore. God created the best specimen when he fearfully and wonderfully formed Adam from the dust. And he said, David understood that. And they said, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Formed, hallelujah, in your image and in your likeness. COVID-19 is a weapon of fear, and fear is opposite to faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. God knew that this day, today, this season we're living in now, this plague would come because of man's greed. Hello, somebody. Yet even in the garden, he still gave his redemption plan. The seed of the woman, hallelujah. And even more, God said in Joel that his spirit would be poured upon all flesh. God created your body and poured his spirit over you, over all flesh. You are a superior being living here right now. Hallelujah. No disease, no sickness, nothing will touch you. Even if they try, they will not touch you. Hallelujah. Why would God keep talking about flesh? Because it is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it is what the Spirit will use to execute his purpose here on this earth. The Spirit of God is not going to use one animal or some tree or something created by man. He will use you. You are engineered to carry his Spirit to fulfill his mandate on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a move of God coming. That's why you are still alive today. Hallelujah. You are here because the move of God is coming. And you are part of that move. And we must believe that. That is what I call faith. And anyone who destroys God's temple, he said he would destroy. Friends, Satan will do all in his power to discourage us, to induce us to become disillusioned and afraid. And that's what's happening around the world today. And I want to say to you people and my family and friends in this church, do not let fear dictate your decisions. Amen. And what you make. Amen? Amen? Do not let fear dictate you to make decisions for your family. You are responsible for your family. Never let fear dictate your decisions. Always go to the Word of God and His promise. Hallelujah. That is why if ever there was a time to truly choose between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, now is the time. Today is the time. If ever there was a time to truly obey God, trust in His Word and His promise, now is the time. Let me just say this again. If ever there was a time, today, now is the time. If there is ever a time to truly obey God, trust in His Word and His promises, now is the time, my friends. Jesus had to correct the disciples one day. He said to them, they said to Him, what shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we drink? What shall we, where shall we live? All these problems that they are thinking about. And then he stopped them and he says, stop worrying. That is not faith. That is worrying. The moment you start worrying about what you're going to eat tomorrow, that's not faith. The moment you start worrying what I'm going to wear tomorrow, that's not faith. That's worrying about what you need. And already the Bible says God knows what you need. God knows everything about your needs and what you should have. And he stopped them and he says, stop worrying, he says, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. I love this scripture. Then he corrected them and he says, what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that shall be added unto you. Let me just read that again. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not just the kingdom, but his righteousness as well, and all that shall be added unto you. He said, seek to understand and embrace the kingdom, and if you do that, then all those things that have become your idols, those things will follow you. See, the world follows after those things and worship those things and hunger after those things. But he said, you go after the kingdom. You go after the kingdom and its righteousness and understand and embrace the kingdom. That's what God is telling us this morning. Hallelujah. They will follow you. My friends, money will follow you. Jobs will follow you. Provisions will follow you. Health will follow you. Healing will follow you. Blessings will overtake you. That's his promise. That's what he says. They came along to you and they will come along with you. They don't become your focus, but they become the natural benefits of you putting the kingdom first and his righteousness. Those are benefits that come with the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me put it this way. If you want to get wet, don't pray for wetness. Jump in the water. Amen. Doesn't make sense? If you want to get burned by some fire, don't pray for heat, jump into the fire. Yeah. My friends, that's what kingdom is all about. Yeah. Kingdom is getting into an environment where for what you desire happens naturally. Yeah. The kingdom, yeah. Things happen, we call it miracle. God calls it natural things. Amen. Miracles are not something that is due to the kingdom. That's part of life in the kingdom. Amen. That's a natural thing for the kingdom. We call it miracles because we're so surprised about it. Healing, that's a natural thing in the kingdom. Yes. Provisions, that's a natural thing in the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Those things are natural. We don't go seeking after them. We go after the kingdom. Embrace the kingdom. Understand the kingdom and its righteousness. And all that becomes part of your life. There are benefits that come with that. Hallelujah. It happens naturally. Unfortunately, many are so conditioned by the system of this world that putting kingdom principles into practice is a struggle. All of us, including me, used to struggle with this. All of us. But this is it. This is the time now that we need to really test the kingdom of God. Test his word and know what his word truly means. Let me just tell a brief story, and I'm not going to mention names because I don't want to embarrass that person is my nephew anyway, so I'll just won't mention names. You know, my nephew came to me, he says, Uncle, I need you to pray for me. And I said, what do you need? He says, I need you to pray for me for this job. And I said, okay. But then he began to tell me about why he needed the job. And he said, the company that I'm working with, making people redundant inside the company. And one of my friends is older than me, but he's a really good friend. But he's on the list of being made redundant. But I've stepped in and gave him my job to him. I've given my position to him because he's older than me, he's a good friend. And I don't want him to be made redundant, so I will be made redundant. But he still gets the job and he still works in the company. But he came to me and says, I applied for a job, and I want you to pray for me. And you know, when I said to him, I said, you know, mate, he said, I said, son, you don't even have to pray for this job. Because what you did is a powerful principle in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Without even knowing what you've done, you have activated Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give, and it will be what? Given to you, good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Hallelujah. I said, we don't have to pray for this job. Let's just give him thanks. Let's just thank God for your job. And we did. And he got the job. Listen, my friends, this is kingdom principles. You know, this is what kingdom is all about. The kingdom of God is about what? Giving. And receiving. It's not about selling or buying or selling. That's the world system. Our kingdom, the way we practice to live now, has to happen right now. And it happens just like that. Those are little key things that God has already given us that we must now apply it and start working in it. That's a great sacrifice. Because he didn't know that he was going to ever get a job. He didn't know that they were going to accept him for this. So he came to me for prayer and he told me this testimony. I said, son, you have just walked in kingdom principles. I don't care how you think or what you are or who you are. The moment you put God's principles into practice. You see, the world, you see, God abides by his word. So if somebody that is not a Christian, hello somebody, if he doesn't believe in God, but he does that. Oh, you didn't hear me. If somebody that doesn't believe in God applied this principle into that, God is going to move. Because why? That's his word. That's his principles. I've got somebody who doesn't believe in God, who is, I call him the raven that feeds the servant of God. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in hell. He says, that's all made up stuff. But he funded my company because he loves what I was doing. And he's one of the ravens that God's going to bring to you. God is going to bring ravens, my friends, to feed you when they stop wanting you to trade and go into a shop and do all these things and all the. God is going to look after you. God will make a way when there is no way. And you have to believe that. We have to believe that. Hallelujah. In the kingdom, you are protected. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. It says, for I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. That's a promise. That word came yesterday as we were praying. One of our brothers, I don't know if he's here this morning or not. This is Pastor, there's a word God just spoke to me. He said, your word. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I was going after Isaiah 43. It says, Isaiah 43 verse 16 says, thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters. God will always make a way, my friends. If you don't have a job right now, God is going to make a way for you. I believe that, and I'm willing to stand on that and pray with you this morning. If they're going to kick you out because you didn't follow a certain rule in that company, then God will provide for you. We need to understand these things. And stop worrying about tomorrow and what we're going to wear and what we're going to eat and all that stuff. Jesus said, I know that. Just come after my righteousness and my kingdom. That's all. He made it so simple for us. He says, seek my kingdom. Come to church. Be part of a great fellowship. Amen. Come to Bible study. Come for prayer. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Come for prayer. Pray together. Bring your needs here. Let's all pray together. Let's stand together and pray. And we see the manifestation of the power of God and his provision start to take place. I want to encourage you this morning that whatever that is coming, we already know the end result. Amen. We are on the winning side. Have you read the end of this book? Have you read the end of this book? If you didn't, go and read this book. Because Revelations makes so much sense now in the season that we are in than before. We never thought that it made any sense. But now, you can open the book of Revelation and you look around, watch the news and go, wow, we are living right now in this time and age. Hallelujah. God is a winning God. You already are a winner even before you can ask for anything. I want you to know that based on scripture, persecution of any kind will never destroy the kingdom of God. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what the world throws at you, any persecution of any kind will never destroy the kingdom of God. It does the total opposite. What it does is it multiplies the kingdom of God. God always uses everything that the devil thinks he's already won. Hallelujah. He didn't realize that when he persecuted the church in the book of Acts, that the gospel would just spread like wildfire. And the devil thought he's gotten rid of the church. And God says, I'm planting a church. He says, I will build my church and no gates of hell shall prevail against this church. Hallelujah. The devil thinks that by persecuting followers of Christ, he will destroy the church. See, you can destroy religion. You can destroy, but you cannot never destroy the kingdom of God. You can stop religion. That's not difficult to do. You can contain religion. That's not difficult to do. You can stop it from spreading by making laws against it. But you cannot stop the kingdom of God. You can control religion because religion has to do with rituals and activities and people dealing with different traditions. And you can put limitations on those things. But the kingdom of God cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. It cannot be contained. It cannot be controlled. And it cannot be bought with money. Hallelujah, somebody. That is why we pray for our leaders. That just because they call themselves Christians and profess that they're Christians, everybody has a price tag. Whether you're a Christian or not, you have a price tag. The spirit of mammon is going to get you if you don't understand kingdom principles. Everybody says, I'm a Christian, I believe in it. Yeah, you do, but you have a price tag. The devil can get you with money. Easy. That's why we pray. People get excited. Oh, we got a new prime minister. I don't get excited until I see kingdom principles being applied inside people's lives. Because everybody uses his name tag. I'm a Christian. God wants true followers of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not just a name tag Christian or just, you know, God wants you to be a kingdom person that lives and moves and believes and operates in the principles of his word. Every man has a price. So pray for our leaders. Pray that they don't fall into the trap of getting bribed. And then we get all these policies that we got to abide by that destroy people's lives. Psalm 91, verse 5. God gives us the freedom from fear. I pray that you receive that freedom this morning from fear. You know, I was so inspired by that because I had to come and encourage some people inside the church that are going through these situations where they can't work now because they have to follow some certain rules and all this. But the thing is that they think that they're breaking the law. But I had to correct them. And I'm going to bring this word to you this morning at the end just to encourage you. Psalm 91 verse 5 to 12 says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. There's four types of dangers that are mentioned that commonly causes fear and apprehension in our lives. One, attacks made by the enemy under the covering of the night, especially terrifying because the source is hard to identify. Amen? That's one of those attacks. Another one is the arrow that flies by day. Bible mentions them. May be understood as literal physical arrows or the evil plot and slanders of the wicked. Words or curses or witch doctor or juju man or guji man or all this stuff that we are always, don't go to this house. He said, juju man. You know, I used to go to my village. My village is notorious for black magic. It's the only village in Bougainville that's still practicing that. Not anymore. And the culprit that runs all this black magic is my own uncle and his sons, which are my nephews. That's in the tip of the Bougainville area. And everyone is scared of my uncle except me, because I come in and I go and sit down with him. And everyone's like, you're sitting down with the, you know, we call him the witchcraft or the poison man. And poison man, where you go story one time, man? Why are you sitting down with this guy? I said, well, what's wrong with him? What's he going to do? You know, my dad used to openly challenge him. My dad will eat something and throw it on the floor and says, there you go. Go and do your magic. But those kind of things we are fearful of. And number four is the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000, verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes, the Bible says, shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Oh, hallelujah. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. That's where we dwell, my friends. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, my friends, we, the people of the kingdom of God, are absolutely safe. We got to believe that. Walk in the place where you say, God, I am protected by you. When the wicked are punished, we will be spectators only from far. That's what the Bible is telling me. We are going to watch the downtrodden or the God destroying our enemies, because we make the Most High God our dwelling place and our refuge. Verse 10 says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place or dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Verse 12, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now let me just clarify the scripture first and put you into perspective, because a lot of Christians like to live dangerously. Hello, somebody. Verse 11 says, the Bible says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And verse 12 says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. When Satan tempted Jesus to throw himself down from the pinnacle, in Luke chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, Jesus did not deny that the verses applied to him, but he denied that they could be used in pretext for tempting God. Hello, somebody. God had not told Jesus to jump from the temple. If he had jumped, he would have been acting outside the divine will of God. Then the promise of the protection would not be valid. Hello, somebody. In other words, this verse is valid and protects you in times where you accidentally fall, not when you go looking for trouble. Hello, somebody. Not when you made up your mind to do it. If you go and say, I'm going to kill myself today, put the gun on your head, you think God's going to come stop you? If you jump over a tower and say, God's going to protect me, hey, God! God is not going to protect you. That word is always challenged by Christians. They go, oh, God's going to protect me. I can do anything. No. This word tells me that if you accidentally in trouble, then God will protect you. Hallelujah. We should never do dumb, foolish things, call it God's will when it is not, and expect God to protect us. The Bible says, in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Means if you accidentally fall, they will bear you up. We must never use God's word to justify stupidity. Hello, somebody. Be wise about things. When the disciples asked Jesus when the end will come, he didn't give them the answer. He told them to look out for signs. And then he said, as soon as this gospel of the kingdom has been preached, then the end will come. Hallelujah. We have a duty to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And when it's been preached, then the end will come. The end of the world is in your hands, my friends. You are the ones that are holding on to the end of the world. When you preach the gospel, then the end will come, the Bible says. Jesus was cautioning his disciples more than to satisfy their curiosity, more to prepare them for the events that should happen than to give them a distinct idea of the events. That is where, my friends, faith kicks in. Jesus said, what is it to you? Go and live righteous before me. Hallelujah. Stop being a noisy neighbor. Or a nosy neighbor, that's the word. Whatever people's decisions are, that's their decision. You live your decision, live your life. Don't be making everybody's life your life or everybody's problem your problem. Hallelujah. You're not everybody's rubbish dump that you're going to carry everybody's dump. That's why I like giving the Word of God and the power of God and let the Word of God deal with people, because then if they don't listen to the Holy Spirit, then who else will they listen to? When the heart is fixed in trusting God, it is kept in a safe place and peace will always be upon us. Why? Because it is against the mind of Christ that his people should have troubled hearts in times of trouble. God says, be of good cheer. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I have overcome. Why are we worried about what's going to happen? Hallelujah. In you, whether we die, we're in Christ. Whether we live, we're in Christ. We win. Our life transcends through the graveyard. They'll be chasing you through the graveyard. You die, you're on the other side, they're stuck. Because you live forever. Amen. Hallelujah. See, those things are happening to be, so we'll be on guard. That means fellowshipping together is becoming more and more crucial for us as a church. Don't think for 1 minute that you can isolate yourself and survive spiritually. You cannot. You need fellowship. Fellowship is the first sharing of a common life with each other through a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And not just with your family, but fellowship amongst other believers. We need to stay together, commune together, break bread together, worship together. Hallelujah. That's important. Not just with your families, but with your fellow Christians inside the church. The Holy Spirit is the key to the kingdom of heaven on earth. That is why no matter how much religion you go to, how many mass you attend, how many choirs you sing in, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, allow somebody, you are not in the kingdom. Jesus made it very clear. We cannot understand the things of the kingdom without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to me or go to the Father except through me. And no one can come to me unless the Holy Ghost brings him to me. The power of salvation, the spirit of grace. That's why you need to be born again to understand the kingdom that we are talking about. You know, let's continue to come together for prayer as a church. Praying together. Pastors, you have no excuse in the world. If the people get this and you don't get it, you are going to be in trouble. Pastors and leaders, listen to me. If the people get the revelation and you haven't, you're going to be in trouble. So you have to be one step ahead of the people. Hallelujah. Come for prayer. Attend prayer. Let's all come together. And that's everybody. Come. Let's pray together. This is the crucial time for us to stay together, pray together, build things up. Revival doesn't come from somebody bringing it to us. It starts inside this building. It starts from inside the man's heart. It comes from there. We don't invite some guest speaker from somebody to come. He's paid the price for his revival. You and I need to pay prices for our revival. That means we need to come together, pray together, stand together. Hallelujah. I'm just so blessed to have our mothers who are such prayer warriors in this church. They challenge us all the time. When we see them, we follow after them. When we see them doing it, we do it because, you know, that there's no other way to build what the kingdom of God is all about. You can't build this church without prayer. We have to do it together. I want to close by bringing this quick. It's like a teaching, but it's also a very important thing for us to understand because a lot of people are condemned by this. When I came back, I had this dream, and when I came back, God confirmed this dream from one of our sisters in the church, and there's questions that needed to be answered, and I said, all right, let me just answer this for you, but I'm going to bring the Word of God because I can't answer this myself. I need to go to the Word of God to see what the Word of God says. And I believe God gave me the dream to prepare me to answer some very important questions for people. There are some things we need to answer in the church. And I'm seeing a lot of Christians, you know, quoting scriptures out of context to justify their decisions in many issues. Amen? Can I say to you this morning, what we must never find ourselves in a place of compromise when it comes to making decisions. We must never find ourselves in a place of compromise when it comes to making decisions. Paul says, we choose God. So we, you know, when the rubber meets the road, we choose God. The Word of God gives us clear guidelines, but the key is to understand what it means. Always study Scripture with Hebrew or Greek translations, and I've been encouraging our music team. Do not just isolate Scriptures, because the Bible isn't isolated. Everything in this Bible backs itself up. Every word that comes from this book backs itself up. It never contradicts itself. God is not a schizophrenic God that He says something and then says something else tomorrow. Hallelujah. If he did, we will never believe his word ever again. So the Bible is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. Hallelujah. So do cross-reference on scriptures and do not isolate scripture. The Word of God always backs itself up, like I said. I want to encourage you by giving you some key principles so that you are never found in a place of compromise. Because it's going to come. And it's already happening in workplaces. And as a pastor of the church, we have to deal with these things. We can just brush it out underneath and say, oh, you know, we should, no, let's deal with these things according to what God says. Hallelujah. You know, it's important for us to speak truth. You know, in prayer meeting, the Holy Ghost reminded me of something. And he spoke clearly to me. He says, Ben, he says, if this church is ever to be accused of something, this is clear, Holy Ghost speaking. He says, if ever this church was to be accused of anything, he says, let it be accused not on compromising leadership, not on some sex scandal situations or accusations, not on lack of integrity regarding money or things like that, not on false teachings, but he said, the Holy Ghost says, but on speaking truth. If they're going to accuse you and I, then let them accuse us on speaking truth, on bringing truth to the people. Amen? That's the only accusation I want to hear from anybody about this church. If they're going to accuse us, they're going to accuse us of all the other stuff that they're accusing churches, and the devil is using it to pull down churches and destroying churches right now. The church has no power because the leadership inside the church has succumbed to the pressures of the world and the work of the enemy inside the church. But when that came, I said, wow, that's strong. If we ever going to be accused of something, then let them accuse us of being true, of walking in truth, of carrying truth, of speaking truth. Hallelujah. Truth is not acquired. You live truth. You live it. It has to be part of you. Hallelujah. And that really shook me. So we must make sure at all costs that we protect the integrity of this church by never shying away from speaking truth. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 5 is one of the most misunderstood scripture. It has been taken out of context and misquoted by Christians who have not really studied the word and understood what it means. Now, when I was here, one of our church members gave me these scriptures. He says, Pastor, I've been studying this and I'm having some, you know, I feel like I'm doing something wrong. In other words, she was feeling condemned or judged for what she was doing. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Now, we Christians get that and we go excited and go, we should not do anything. We must submit. We must obey. Well, let me bring some clarity to this. This chapter, when taken out of context, will make sure that we all, being obedient Christians or citizens, which historically has led Christians in all kinds of problems. You know, if we shut up, then our government will make dumb policies that will involve us and destroy people. Are you hearing me? Yeah. We cannot bury our heads in the sand and expect things to pass us by. We are talking about the freedom of this country. And we've been praying for the freedom of this country. Every morning, Saturday morning, we come here, we pray for nations and pray for Australia, pray for our prime minister, pray for our state, pray for the freedom of this nation that we can still stand here and preach the gospel free. Hallelujah. And don't take for 1 minute that if we don't, everything's going to be okay. My concern is that if we misunderstood and don't get this right, we could easily find ourselves treading on the path, and I say this carefully, according to history, part of the German church under Hitler's Nazi regime. Hello, somebody. We think, oh, that's history. Listen to me, that spirit didn't go away. That spirit is alive and well today. And that's the enemy. In those days, too many good citizens, good Christians, stood by while the vulnerable neighbors were crushed by the government authorities. The government does not control your freedom. Oh, I said it. We should not be afraid to speak truth to ourselves and teach ourselves based on God's word, which is what the world order is all about. Total compliance and don't ask questions. Just do it. No. You have a human right to make a decision for yourself. That's according to the Nuremberg Code, according to what you are, the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you have all the right to make decisions for yourself. Please understand that Romans 13 is not about obeying government authorities. Hello, somebody. Come on. Romans 13 is not about obeying government authorities. So let's take a closer look at those scriptures. After Jesus' death and resurrection, King Herod got very mad and arrested some of the believers, including James and Peter, and put them on a public trial. The night before the trial, an angel of the Lord woke Peter up, removed his chains, opened the prison doors and let him out of the main gate of the prison. Yet after the escape from jail, where he had been imprisoned for breaking the law, Peter went on to write in a letter. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. He says, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are set by him or sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You know, sometimes we wish that Peter and Paul would be a bit clearer about these things. But it's because they were speaking and talking in Greek and Hebrew. And when we study the Bible, we need to study it in Greek and Hebrew, never in English, because you will always get it out of context every time. And it's a popular problem inside the church. And a similar problem was with Paul. While Paul was in Damascus, he escaped from the strong man, city governor, who was trying to arrest him by concealing himself in a wicker basket and having himself lowered down the city wall through a window. And after reaching safety, Paul wrote a surprising letter. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. You know, Christians love to quote all the time. It says, let every soul be subject to the government, authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must subject not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. So the question that you may ask is, are Peter and Paul hypocrites? Asking Christians to do as they say, but not as they do? Well, those passages have been used to maintain a status quo. Since the Emperor Constantine became a Christian and made it an official religion of the empire, there is a big disconnect between Peter and Paul's actions and the way we have traditionally interpreted their words out of context. The key to understanding is the word submit. Take a look at this. It says in Greek, there's a Greek word that says hupotasso, which being translated as what? Submit or be subject. Literally means to arrange stuff respectfully in an orderly manner underneath. This simply meaning of social orderliness would have been understood by the original readers of this book. But it is a little obscured now in our English translations today. That's why it's important to understand this, so that you don't feel guilty about anything. The reason I'm bringing this is so that when you make your decisions, you're making it based on God's word. Amen? And not on some guilty conscience. Or I've been forced to do something because I'm guilty and I must be breaking the law. No, listen to what God's word is saying. There's a main point. Paul and Peter believe that governing authorities are necessary for keeping the peace. God is a God of order. Amen? Not anarchy or chaos. But here's what we go wrong. There's another word, hupokouo, which best translates as obey. So submit and obey is a totally two different words altogether. We should never confuse them. Which literally means to conform or to follow a command or to comply to an authority. Peter and Paul could have used the word obey, but they chose not to. They use submit instead. Used 21 times in the New Testament, hupokouo always suggested that as in relationship between children and their parents, which children obey your parents, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, or Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it says, or parents or slaves obey your masters. The Bible is clear about that. So here's the most important thing to remember. In the New Testament Greek, to submit does not always mean to obey. Hello, somebody. There are two separate actions or postures. So Paul and Peter and other followers of Jesus deliberately disobeyed the law. Why? That were in conflict with God's commandments. Hello, somebody. They disobeyed those laws that were going against this word. Amen. That's important to understand. Yeah. They didn't break the law because they wanted to break the law. They disobeyed what the precepts or what the government of the day had put up because they believed in the word and they obeyed God's word more than anything else. Hallelujah. They were in conflict with God's command. They still submit to the authorities, listen to this, by accepting the legal consequences of their actions. They submit after they've disobeyed, preached the word of God, and they says, no, come and beat us. That's submitting to the authority. They disobeyed when it came against the word of God, but they submit when it came to pay the price for it. Hallelujah. What a man. Can we do that? Can we stand and speak against what they're forcing onto us and suffer the consequences and submit to the consequences of it? This is what was happening. And it's happening now in the time and season that we live in now. That's why people are bringing these problems to me and saying, Pastor, what do you think about this? Well, I said, I'm going to go to the Word of God because I will not answer you in my own thinking. I will answer you in what God says. So as far as back as the book of Exodus, the Hebrew midwives, listen to this, refused to carry out Pharaoh's orders to murder newborn babies. The first people who sought to worship Jesus deliberately disobeyed the orders of the king, King Herod at the time, a criminal offense punishable by death. The first record act, it's the first recorded act of civil disobedience in the New Testament. Many of the disciples ended up in prison. As Christians, listen to me, my friends, the law of the land cannot be our ultimate moral guide. Your moral guide doesn't come from the law of the land. It comes from this book. That's where morality is, in this book, not on the law of the land. Many of today's laws, and can I say this, many of today's laws are created to protect corporations rather than people. Hello, somebody. So it answers your question. When you don't want to do something and they kick you out of your job, you're not breaking any laws. You're standing on what you believe in that's coming from the Word of God. Amen? Maybe you pay the consequences when you lose your job. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, God is going to look after you. God is going to protect you. God's going to watch over you. God's going to give you a better job. Working in a place, a safe environment where you don't have to worry about people persecuting you all the time. We gotta believe this. It is kingdom system now that we have to start walking and abiding in and believing it. And not only that, practicing it. Practicing it. Get it done. You know, slavery was lawful. Hello, somebody. The Holocaust was legal. Segregation and apartheid was legally sanctioned by government. So we gotta remember those things. This is history telling us about what kind of time and season we're living in right now. Amen. Simply put, let me just put it this simply. The law of the government does not dictate our ethics. This book does. God dictates you and I's ethics. That's this book. We are kingdom people. We walk according to this Bible. Nothing else. Hallelujah. So when it comes to making decisions, Acts chapter 5, verse 29 to 31, I love that scripture. Let me just go through it and read it, and then I'll close. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, and they gave him a sermon right there, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Amen. Hallelujah. That should be our words to any authority that's tried to stop us from preaching the gospel. Amen. We're coming to that stage, friends. Don't think we're going to escape it. We're in it, and we need to discuss these things, talk about it openly so that we're not left in the dark about those things. Hallelujah. We Christians are people of the kingdom of God. Should never let fear dictate our decisions. And I said it again. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, my last verse, it's my last scripture, it says, God says to Joshua, Joshua has now become the commander of the Israelites. And it's a tough job. And he's always been just Moses' right-hand man. And all of a sudden, he's now the man leading the team. And so God says, listen, Joshua, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Let this be our word this morning. Let it be a word that will encourage you this morning. This is the reality of where we are now, church. That's why I couldn't help it. I tried going away from this message. I tried to find something else to preach. I couldn't get away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's just like, I am not leaving you until you preach it, until you say it, until you bring it to the people. Yeah. And I did. Yeah. I could have easily just picked one scripture and come and preach to you. But I couldn't get away from this because that came from a dream that I had. And I was a bit concerned about it. And when I came here, I started seeing our people. You know, it'll come to a stage where our people will come ask questions. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? Well, we bring them the truth of the Word of God. And then they can make the decisions from there. Amen? You have no right to force anybody to do anything. Listen to me. You have no right to force anybody to do anything, even your own family. Amen?
Amen.
They have their right to make decisions for themselves. And we are coming to this time now where families are getting divided because of all this nonsense that's happening. So I just thought I couldn't get away from it. Now we need to share it because we are family and it's open and it's there. So you can throw stones at me later. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. And listen to me. I'm going to pray. If you're looking for a job, if you're going through some situations where these things are happening to you, we want to pray for you today. I want the music team to come up and we're going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for your word. Thank you that what you have wanted me to release has been released to your people. And I thank you that their hearts are open to receive information, Lord, that comes from you. And Father, they themselves will make the decisions for themselves. And I pray that, Lord, you watch over each and every person, Father God, in this situation and time we live in right now. Papa God, we look to you. Everything that you have done, that we've obeyed and walked in, we thank you that we will be people of obedience, that we will always obey your word. And I pray, Father God, for your people today, that whatever decisions they're right on right now, whatever valley of decisions they're in right now, I pray that you will give them clarity by your spirit, by your word, that they will make a decision that will truly benefit their families, benefit their whole being, their life, their jobs, their family, their business. I pray, Father God, that their decisions will be based on your word and your precepts, that we will never deny you. When it comes to the time when they will say, deny Christ, we will say no. We will stand before man and say no. We will not deny our Jesus. Hallelujah. And I pray that today upon all our families, all our children, every mother, father, all the uncles, aunties, all the boo-boos, I pray that they will make decisions. Lord, understanding your kingdom, Father God, I pray your blessing upon them, your blood covering upon them. Father, that there is nothing missing in their life, nothing broken in their life. Everything has been restored, made all well and complete by the power and the finished work of the cross, by the blood of Jesus and the Holy Ghost that lives and dwells inside of us, oh God, that will continue to lead us and guide us. Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's something you want to talk to me about or you want prayer for something, please come and see me and we can pray for you or we can encourage you and talk to you about it. But, you know, talk openly about those things, but always go to the Word of God to answer all our questions. Amen. Clear guidelines of life right here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, peace that surpasses all understanding. Let the peace and the comfort of God be upon your life, be your portion today, that there is nothing missing in your life, nothing broken in your life. Everything has been restored, made whole, well, and complete by the power of the Holy Spirit, that your job is restored, your health is restored, your provision is restored, your finances are restored, your business is blooming and becoming successful, your relationship with your husband and your wife restored, hallelujah. Your relationship with your children restored, hallelujah. Your relationship with your neighbor and your friends restored, Father God. I pray in Yeshua's mighty name. And all God's people shouted and agreed and said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's dance.